founded in 1682 by William Penn, Europeans first settled in Pennsylvania in 1637, although several tribes of indigenous people occupied the land for centuries before this. Pivotal in the French and Indian Wars, the Seven Years' War, the American Revolution, and the United States Civil War, it is no surprise that with such a rich history, our state has developed a culture that is distinctive and multifaceted. Full of legends and real-life heroes who risked everything for their beliefs, today, Pennsylvania retains strong elements of folk culture developed by a combination of ideologies practiced by the varied ethnicities of original settlers, Native Americans, and shared experiences. Legends and lore passed down over centuries reveal philosophies that are as superstitious as they are religious and even scientific, resulting in a microculture found nowhere else. You are listening to Pennsylvania Life, Legends, and Lore, where we believe that behind every great story, there is a nugget of truth. In each episode, your hosts, Ethan and Holly, will attempt to uncover that truth and preserve a part of our incredible Pennsylvanian lifestyle.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to Pennsylvania Life, Legends, and Lore. I am one of your hosts, Holly.
And I'm Ethan.
And today we are going to be doing a part one of a three-part series about the lost gold of Dent's Run. Now, I've never heard of this. Ethan, have you?
I have not heard of this either.
Okay. So our researcher Meg always brings us fun things that even we've never heard of. So it's a learning curve for us too when we hear about these, because we have no idea what we're getting thrown into. But let's get started. So...
Yes.
Well, and I'm going to interject. I think some of the reason why we may not have heard about this is because when the story got really big, it was during the pandemic.
That's true. A lot of things that were big then took a back seat. So That makes sense.
Yeah. So we're getting to learn about the Pennsylvania version of Indiana Jones or National Treasure story. That is unfolding right in our backyard.
Right, and we had no idea.
That's right. Maybe we need to stop selling insurance and go to start adventuring for gold.
Hey, people make a living off of that, so you never know. So, lost gold from the Civil War with explorers hunting for it. It sounds like it's fiction, but yeah, it's happening in the nearby Pennsylvania wilds. So like Meg had said, in March of 2018, FBI agents and a treasure recovery service called Finders Keepers were at the Dent's Run in Elk County looking for a legendary shipment of lost gold. So to start this portion off, we're going to dive deep into the background of the story of where the gold came from and how it ended up possibly in Pennsylvania. So as with most legends, there are a couple of versions that vary slightly depending on the source. So if you know about this story and we veer off a little bit from what you know, shoot us comments, let us know your thoughts and what you've heard, but we're going to go into the most common telling of the story. So in June of 1863, Confederate forces under General Robert E. Lee were headed towards the Pennsylvania town of Gettysburg. The movement ultimately led to the historic Battle of Gettysburg in south central Pennsylvania, and at the time, Abraham Lincoln ordered a shipment of government gold to be taken by a covered wagon from Wheeling, West Virginia, through Pennsylvania, headed east.
And I'm gonna add in here, so if you look up the story, the Mount Zion Historical Society has the story on their website, and they list the date as early June of 1864 in their version. However, this is really unlikely because the Battle of Gettysburg concluded on July 3rd of 1863, and there wouldn't be any need to avoid the direct route to Philadelphia then. So this could be a typo. I'm guessing it's a typo. And then Wheeling, West Virginia. So West Virginia was ceded from Virginia in 1861 to join the Union. And Abraham Lincoln established West Virginia as a state officially in 1863 with Wheeling as the capital. And Wheeling was the capital from 1863 until 1870, and then it was moved to Charleston. So up until 1808, it was also the site of Fort Henry. And so it's really possible, just given the history of the area, that there could have been a gold reserve there. But I couldn't find anything specifically citing that there was a reserve or a fort there that had gold in it.
So the wagon train consisted of two covered freight wagons with four mules each and a small ambulance wagon with it. The two freight wagons were, they each had 26 bars of gold that were painted black and weighed about 50 pounds each. So that would be why they would need four mules each. Mm-hmm. So today, the value of $2,008 an ounce, one of the 26 bars would be worth about $1,606,400, or a grand total for all of these 26 bars of $41,766,400.
Okay, we're going to need to stop here and take a couple week vacation. We will
That's
be back.
That's crazy.
With the conclusion of what we found.
This is why people right? treasure hunt.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, that's a lot of money.
Well, one gold bar.
There's an extensive history of, like, treasure like this being lost in the Civil War because mm-hmm. money was moved clandestinely all over the place between North and South. Mm-hmm. And when the Confederacy fell, I think it was Johnson who was the Confederate president at the time, he attempted to move all the Confederate money, which granted they were kind of broke at that point, but whatever was left mm-hmm. along with any like high standing members of Confederate society who had money, they tried to move their money out of the capital and transport it to places where it'd be safe, mm-hmm. wherever those places were. And so there's an extensive history of, like, lost Confederate gold as well. Like, some of it just disappeared.
Well, and when you're traveling with 26 bars, so that doesn't seem like a lot, but when one bar is worth so much, like, if you lose a bar, like, it's not like you dropped a $5 bill on the ground and you just go about it. Like, that's a lot in one single piece of money. Like, just, it's huge.
Yeah, it's an astronomical amount. We need to go look for this and just find one bar.
That's all we're asking for. Yeah, just one bar.
It's even half of a bar.
Right.
A quarter of a bar?
A quarter of a bar, even. Yeah.
A slice.
Right. Just a little sliver off one of them. That's all we're asking for.
Mm-hmm.
So, and just in case the wagons... Just in case. So the wagons did come equipped with a false bottom in which the gold was placed to hide with the true cargo that they were also transporting. So the shipment was on its way to Philadelphia to be melted down and made into coins to pay the Union soldiers. And the party was made up of three drivers and eight men on horseback. So it was Lieutenant James, and if I pronounce these wrong, either Meg or somebody can correct me, Lieutenant James Castleton. Yeah. He was born of a famous military family. He was in command, and his fighting career was stopped by an acute case of malaria and a hip wound. We had Sergeant Mike O'Rourke, an undesirable, wanted by the police for many Riverport brawls involving murder, was chosen for his natural talent for leading and his ability to be shrewd, which... I mean, if you're transporting that much gold, you want somebody who's like, I'm not afraid to break the law. I'm just going to do whatever I need to do.
Yeah, and in my research, I did find a few records regarding a Castleton family from Philadelphia with a son, James, who fought in the Mexican-American War, which would have been before this, and was injured.
Okay.
So there are supporting records for possibly him. I did find some records of a Michael O'Rourke that kind of do fit the time frame and general region, but there's not really any way for me to, it wasn't enough to conclusively know, like, oh yeah, this could be the guy.
Right.
This is definitely the guy. And then the next one that we're going to get into, there's absolutely nothing on him because all we have is the last name.
Just stole all the money.
Oh, you never know.
That's one of the
It's a possibility.
Sounds like
You're getting too far ahead here.
I know. Sorry, just interjecting my thoughts as we are going along through this one is he probably stole it. Moved it. It's not even in Pennsylvania anymore.
You never know. Although that would be difficult for him to move on his own.
Well,
without...
We'll get into, like...
I know we're getting into more later on, but just...
Well, if they find the things like the wagons, the mules... Again, I'm getting ahead of ourselves. If they find that kind of stuff, how would he have transported multiple... Maybe he only took one. You only need one.
You don't really need a ton, but if you were going to be greedy and try to take a bunch, there's no way you'd maneuver that landscape with a whole bunch of gold on you, physically.
So,
but maybe he... Never mind. Maybe I'm getting too... Maybe I'm getting too far ahead.
All right, Ethan, settle down. We'll get there.
I want $41 million. Come on. I need to know where it is.
Settle. All right, back on track here. So the last individual was, like Meg said, we only have his last name, was Connors. And he was the only other one that was identified. And he was an unfriendly and sullen gentleman. And had also been wounded in combat and assigned to limited service. And again, we don't have a whole lot to back that up, but that's what we know. So, the men were instructed to take a roundabout route through the north-central part of Pennsylvania, going as far as Williamsport to avoid the enemy. Some sources describe the route as headed for Round Island, which is located between what is now Benazet and Lock Haven, and makes sense as a stop along the route. So the crew followed the old Clarin River Trail for several days and eventually camped in a clearing near Ridgeway. And while they avoided the Confederate infiltrators, the party did not evade illness. So Lieutenant Castleton is said to have come down with typhoid fever. And then arriving in the town of Ridgeway, Castleton tried, unsuccessfully, to buy some Peruvian bark or quinine for his fever. So the townspeople did not appreciate the arrival of the wagon train, and in a tavern, Castleton and O'Rourke were accused of being drafters there to recruit men for duty. A brawl ensued, and the group felt fortunate enough to be able to leave that town with their lives.
So can I just interject here? Because I found this kind of interesting, and it sort of ties into, like, some of the things I've chuckled about being, you know, from... upstate New York with the snow here, how Pennsylvanians kind of feel like they're Southerners. We, I think, often forget that although Pennsylvania was in the Union, it was right on the line split between North and South. So literally all through the state, you really did have brothers fighting brothers.
Right.
And even in Northern Pennsylvania, people were not a huge fan of the war because they just didn't see why, one, they should be bothered. You know, a lot of them are remote enough that it was like, it's my land. I don't want anything to do with this. Mm-hmm. I just want to be free to do my thing. Or, you know, they just felt a lot of times, a lot of them felt like they were pushed to one side or another because that's how the state went. Mm-hmm. So even though you were in a union state, not everyone in the state had the same sentiments as the state went. Mm-hmm. So... just like to consider that because it's not just Confederate soldiers they had to worry about. It's also sympathizers. Mm-hmm. I get really excited about history.
And that's why we keep Meg in here because she knows more about it and we want somebody interjecting with those little tidbits for you. So early the next day, the group carefully skirted the town following a road heading east, possibly the present-day Route 120, arriving in St. Mary's 2 days later. And here they found a map of the Wildcat Country made in 1842 by surveyors that showed a possible road branching to the south about 10 miles east of St. Mary's and 1 mile west of the village of Truman, which may or may not have been in existence at that time. So today, this road is a little bit more than a jeep trail. It crosses two mountains with elevations of 2,000 feet with the west branch of Hicks Run in between. This road joins an unimproved road, dirt road, just over the summit of the second mountain and branches off into three directions. Each branch eventually brings you to the Cinnamohoning Creek at different points. The road the soldiers supposedly took would have brought them to Hicks Place, which is currently the town of Driftwood, on the same river. So the team was headed to a point where the Cinnamohoning connects with the west branch of the Susquehanna, and they planned to float the gold down the Susquehanna to Harrisburg and onward. The branch offs from the team's route were not well marked and not present on their map. Unfortunately, they became hopelessly lost in the PA wilds. So the wagon party was last seen in the town of St. Mary's.
And I'm going to interject here again. So again, if you go to the Mount Zion Historical Society, their documents show that during the trek after leaving St. Mary's, the party faced disease and attacked by wild animals and, you know, rattlesnakes and copperheads, and that basically the majority of the team was dead or dying at this point, and that quarrels started breaking out between surviving members of the party, and the team split up at this point to get help for Lieutenant Castleton, who was too ill to travel any further. Their version of the story say that Connors left for help, and that Castleton, O'Rourke, and four other men who were left in the party began transferring the gold to pack sacks that they made up from the canvas wagon covers so that the mules could reach their destination faster. So they were losing the wagons, transferring the gold directly onto the mules, and planning to go just with the mules the rest of the way.
I feel like that puts them a little bit more at risk. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, well, and you think about it, they would have had to have weaponry mm-hmm. in some of the... You right. wouldn't transport that right. gold with right. just weaponry on you.
Right.
You'd have to have weaponry in some of those wagons, so they'd have to have left that right. too. And then their version also said that Connors reported later, when he left the party, that O'Rourke and Castleton were arguing over whether to bury part of the gold because they realized they couldn't take it all on the mules mm-hmm. or to try to carry it all. It is also noted in their version that Lieutenant Castleton had a logbook, but they don't have this logbook and there's no official documentation of this logbook. So they're saying a lot of these details that they have that maybe the other versions don't mm-hmm. come from this logbook, but they don't have the logbook.
Okay.
And they don't know where it is. So
that's not helpful.
No. So we don't really know if that's actually factual. Some right. of those details are factual or if they're just embellishments right. that happen over time.
Right. Because that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So Connors was the only survivor. He eventually made it into Lock Haven. He was sick and dehydrated when he arrived. He was nursed back to health and then stayed in Lock Haven until Army officials showed up. He was interrogated by the military. And Connor said that the lieutenant, so that's Lieutenant Castleton, had died of fever, and there was a fight, but he couldn't remember anything after that.
Sure.
I will also say here, there's another, some of the accounts that you'll read of this say that Connors actually went back to St. Mary's, and that's where all this happened, that he was interrogated in St. Mary's. Also, there are variations on the time frame. Some say that he showed up a month later. Others say 2 months. But it seems like the majority of the versions say he showed up in Lock Haven mm-hmm. between a month and to 2 months later.
Right. It's surprising that, like, he survived. Like, he was by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm surprised he was able to make it anywhere. Okay, Ethan's got a theory. Go ahead.
I'm not saying that I don't have a theory. I just, what people need to remember is, like, today we think, oh, there's no way, like, with all the technology and all of this stuff, like, there's no way someone would get away with just stealing all that gold so easily. But back then, people, there was no cell phones. There was no, I mean, no highways. It's not like they were just passing horse and buggies left and right. And once they're out in the middle of the Pennsylvania woods, they could easily just, I don't know, shoot each other or say, hey, you're going to get this amount of gold. You're going to get
well,
this
yeah,
amount
you've
of
got,
gold.
You've got sketchy people on the
transporting
team too.
High value money. And what's to say they just didn't say, hey,
that's a risk you have to take.
You're now John Smith and see ya. And
actually,
you died.
That's actually like kind of one of the conspiracy theories because you're talking about the head was, yes, a decorated military official who had an extensive, like, family, military family, mm-hmm. That were, you know, held in high regard. But he had been wounded. His fighting days were over. And he was a little bitter about that, according to most accounts.
Well, and he was ill.
And he was ill.
Right.
Right. And so...
It wouldn't be difficult for everybody else to be like, well, we don't really need this guy anymore.
And then...
Happened in history. Watch The Revenant. Read the book. Read the history about it. Pretty much same thing.
And the other guy was known to be a scoundrel. Mm-hmm. And he was picked specifically because he was shrewd and he was kind of a scoundrel. And then Connors wasn't really, from what we have documented, he wasn't really, like, an awesome dude either.
Upstanding citizen.
Right.
Right. So it's a possibility. He could just be like, well, I don't know what happened to those guys.
Yeah.
And nobody would know any different or have proof of anything different.
They got lost, air quotes.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, and he can say whatever he wants. He's the only person there. He can say, well, yeah, they started fighting. They said, well, maybe we're going to bury it. Maybe we'll keep going with it. Maybe this, maybe that. I don't know. And that's all that anybody has to go on.
Mm-hmm. And let's face it, with Pennsylvania being neutral-ish, what's a better state to say, hey, we have all this gold in Pennsylvania and we want to escape with it, so let's just change our names and maybe people won't tell us because some of the people in Pennsylvania are on the fence on one, which side to be on, and two, whether we really is it worth being involved? So what's easier to do except for say, hey, oh, I'm just a really wealthy person minding my own business and I don't really care what goes on here, just being neutral.
Yeah, because then you have to figure, what are they going to do with the gold bars? You can't just go up and be like, here's a gold bar.
I found this. No.
So you could have all the wealth in the gold bars, but nothing to, you can't use it.
Correct.
You can melt it down into other
Could you
things.
Do that yourself, though?
I don't know. I don't know how. I mean, I could probably look up what the melting temperature of gold is.
Maybe.
But
you would probably have to, have certain, stamps and things like that to make it look like.
And what if they were spies? Ooh, interesting.
Now, what you're saying is true. However, the detection skills for fraudulent currency was not there as it used to be. So you could have a really good artist create a mold for you that look like
coin. But then you
coin.
Have to involve other people.
Right. So it's just how many people do you want to involve?
I am not, maybe my thought is maybe not that extreme, but it wouldn't surprise
me. So you had the idea and then Meg and I went down a rabbit hole with it.
Or maybe they buried it and said, hey, we're going to wait for things to cool down and we know where it is. We'll come back later.
True. Right.
And then when there's going to be less questions asked.
True. That's entirely possible.
Yeah. They stole it. Bunch of thieves.
It's possible. So 10 days after Connors was interrogated, he took a rescue party from Lock Haven to the team's last known camp, but they only found the abandoned wagons. So that kind of tracks to him saying they were debating leaving the wagons and just taking the mules with the gold. So they at least found the wagons. So it was apparent that the group had split up there and there were several trails to the southwest and the rescue party had searched for several days before returning to Lock Haven. In a court of inquiry held in Clearfield, Pennsylvania, they charged Castleton and O'Rourke with treason and theft. And the charges were dropped, though, pending further investigation, as Castleton's family had much influence in high army circles. So they were trying to charge them, even though they weren't around. So they were going clearly off of whatever Connors had said, because they didn't have any other proof other than the fact that they found wagons, but found nobody else.
Right.
And just a side note. I do mention this in another part of this, but there is no record in the Clearfield Historical Society, any of the judicial records, anything, of this court of inquiry.
Okay.
So some people say, well, everything at that time was really scattered because mm-hmm. of the state that we were all in.
True.
But the flip side of that is, things are pretty well documented in the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And Civil War historians are pretty meticulous people. So if it existed, they probably would have found it.
True. Mm-hmm. So it's up in the air. Could be, could not. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Thieves.
So you would have charged them if they were alive or whatever.
I mean, putting myself in that time. Mm-hmm. If there's no...
Ethan would have gone around, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead. Here's the gold. See ya.
Also, you have to still worry about Indians.
Not a criminal.
Native Americans during this time, too. So there was a thought that maybe Native Americans...
That's true.
...came in and took off with.
No, I'm saying it seems a little suspicious if there's no physical bodies.
I was just going to say that to Meg's point. Like, it's not like they found...
Right. If he said, the guy comes back and says everybody's dead, well, shouldn't he know where everybody died?
He didn't say everybody's dead. He says he doesn't know. Oh, no, it says the only...
Sorry. He doesn't know.
Some of them, it is, like, implied that some of the party died, but there was enough left.
Right.
But they were all ailing. Mm-hmm. They were dealing with typhoid and malaria and, like, knows what.
Did they find any bodies?
Well, keep...
Okay, all right, we're getting there. Sorry. We're getting there. All right.
We're putting the cart before the horse.
It's a wagon before the mule.
Whatever.
Stick to the script. So later, Connors would get drunk and claim to that he knows everything that happened and exactly where the gold was. So, still suspicious, the War Department hired the Pinkerton Detective Agency to search for the gold with utmost secrecy. And so they did not want the Native American or civilians searching for the gold. So they were trying to keep it all very discreet as they tried to find any remnants of this gold. So several teams of Pinkertons pose as prospectors and lumbermen in the area, alert for any signs of sudden wealth, and ask discreet questions. Those searches were conducted in the area from Lock Haven to the Driftwood Branch to the Benazet Branch of the Cinnamahoning Creek as far west as St. Mary's. So in the summer of 1865, Donovan and Dugan were detectives in the Pinkerton Agency, found 2.5 bars of gold buried under a pine stump about 4 miles south of where the wagons were abandoned. This indicated that the treasure had been stolen and divided. So, in 1871, 8 years later, when the search ended, the same detectives retired from the agency and built a cabin north of Benazet on Trout Run. So, occasionally they would search on their own for the treasure, which, why wouldn't you? And in 1866, a pair of the mules was found by other Pinkerton men, and the mules were still carrying the army brand and were in possession of an old man in Chase Run. He said that he had found them wandering in the woods. So he wasn't part of the original group. He just happened to find these mule. Mm-hmm. Then in 1876, while the Elk Cameron boundary was being resurveyed, several skeletons were found. Now,
that's where the bodies come in. Mm-hmm.
That's what. But do they know who they were?
That's the thing. You don't know. You don't know if that was a Native American burial ground. You don't know if that was just some other.
Right. Like, just group because of they found skeletons doesn't mean that.
Can't they run DNA? Well, they don't have the skeletons anymore, I'm guessing.
There is no record of skeletons ever being found. Hmm. So.
Because I can say with today's technology, they should just be able to run DNA to find out what they're.
All the legends, every single version you read of this legend will say that they found skeletons mm-hmm. when the Elk and Cameron County line was drawn and resurveyed, and they found this mm-hmm. these skeletons. But there isn't actually any historical record of this.
Okay.
Not even in a newspaper.
I feel like it was just like, well, here's some bodies that people died in the woods.
I mean, mm-hmm. and like it could be one of two things. Either they really worked at keeping this very, very quiet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or you gotta figure, you're back in the times when Pennsylvania was still kind of the Wild West. Mm-hmm. Maybe people stumbled across bones like that in the woods all the time and didn't really think about it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Could just be, this group of people got lost and
You know, you think about it.
The end.
When people died traveling out west, what happened?
You just buried them there.
You left them there. You buried them where they were.
Right. Right.
So
it's not worth taking them along. It's just extra.
And they're gonna stink.
That's true too. That's true too. So the survey crew found the bones from 3 to 5 human skeletons scattered around near a spring at the head of Bell's Branch of Dense Run, approximately 7 miles from where the wagons had been abandoned. So all of this wasn't too terribly far from where the mules were found, and where the skeletons were found wasn't far from where the wagons were found. So, and of course we know the remaining gold has not been found. So, now we're going to jump up, unless, do you have any more insight that you want into the background story?
No. No, it might take a little time to get part 2 and 3 out. I need to take a vacation, and I'm going to suddenly just start hiking.
Okay. Well, we're going to stick within, like, a 10-mile radius of wherever these specific location of where these wagons were found, because it doesn't seem like people got very far.
Which
doesn't.
Could be huge.
Hints at an altercation of some point. Like, even ill, if there were actually bones and they were only 7 miles from where the wagons were found, they didn't make it far before somebody killed them.
Right. Before something happened.
Because
they
didn't all just drop dead of whatever they were dealing
with.
In that spot.
Right.
And
right. Well, that's the thing with, if you had the skeletons, you could kind of see, like, was there marks on the bones, like if somebody was, like, stabbed or if somebody was shot or, you know, different things. But we don't have that information, unfortunately.
You seem so depressed that we don't have that information.
Well, it's like you want to know. Like, now we're digging into it, and now I'm like, I need to know. I need to know all of the answers. Leaving things up in the air and just out there.
Telling you what happened. They shot each other and left with the gold. People weren't as honest back.
Wait till we get to part 2 and 3. Your thoughts might change. Just saying.
We'll
started
see.
Out all excited about there actually being gold here, and now I'm like, I don't know.
Currently, this sounds like the good, bad, and the ugly, and the gold's marked in a grave unknown somewhere around the planet, and
you never know.
We're just waiting for someone to find it.
Waiting for you to find it.
That's right.
All right. So now we're going to jump forward to 2018. So this is the Finders Keepers. This is their story. The lost shipment of gold has been a mystery that the Finders Keepers, which is, the Treasury Recovery Company, has been eager to solve, which now I want to be part of the Finders Keepers. So, father and son Dennis and Kim Parada, who are the owners of Finders Keepers, have been working on the project for years. So, in 2012, they believed that they had figured out the location of the gold. The area that their sophisticated detector has registered a hunk of metal that they suspected was the gold of lore was on state land. So as a result, federal law prevented them from digging there for the gold. The law regarding buried treasure can be somewhat convoluted, and despite the company name, there is never a guarantee that the finder will get to keep what they find. Which, that's a giant bummer.
Yeah, so, and the thing that is...
Sounds like they were the loser weepers.
Oh my gosh.
So the thing that also made this more complicated, and we talk about it more later, but it's the place where their metal detector went crazy is on state land. It's also game land. And it's technically, if it is the gold, or was the gold, it's federal gold.
You got a whole bunch of hands in the pot.
So there would be totally a turf war.
Right, right.
And then you have the Treasure Recovery Company in the mix.
Right, right. Because, which they're probably way on the low on the totem pole at that point.
Right, because of, well, the next piece gets into that.
However, the federal government reportedly will give the finder 10%, and then the finder will most likely have to pay tax on that. So, huge bummer. Huge bummer.
Is it, though? Because
I mean, it's still a lot.
$41 million, so they're still getting
$4 million.
Thank you. So if you found $41 million and then you get how much?
$4 million? Yes. What are you going to say?
But then you have to pay tax on it.
Yeah, that's the dumb part.
So then you're going to get, like, what, maybe $1, $2 million? Like, you could have had $41 million, and then you end up with maybe one or two.
I just say, keep your mouth shut and dig the hole.
Right. Just be like, hey, I found this. Like, put the hole back. Like, put the dirt back.
That gets back to my...
Just hang on to it for a while until people aren't suspicious that there's a hole in the ground.
But now that gets back to the... Now with today's technology and everything, you're probably not going to be able to keep that quiet very long and actually use the wealth.
Because well, no, you would definitely have to just hang on to it and be like...
Never say a word. So is it worth to have 41 million unusable go-to-jail dollars or have...
Why would you go to jail? Well, I guess because you dug it up.
Well,
or you could have $4 million taxed... And you get to live your life happy.
All right, well, you'd have to weigh those pros and cons while you're standing there waiting to see if you want to dig a
hole. It appears we know what your pros are. Take the $41 million.
Or they could have...
You just wait it out and put it somewhere on your property.
And then be like, hey, I found this.
And then be like, hey, I found this.
This gold is just ended up in Allen... It just ended up here in central Pennsylvania where it was never suspected to be.
They live remotely enough. I think that the... Like, from what I saw, this is not far from where they their actual headquarters or house is. So,
But it could also be they could have dug on state lands. It could have not been gold. Mm-hmm. And then they're just in deep trouble for that. And they don't even have any
I think I'd take the 10% and... You also have to remember, I think I'd take the 10%.
These troop guys have no sense of adventure.
When I find something with a metal detector, I'm saying, okay, Ethan, there's nothing really there, and I'm going to call Meg, and then we're going to go out.
And then when you go to jail.
And if we get caught, you're deaf, and I don't speak English.
See? We have a plan. We're ready to go.
And you just put it on a podcast that's going to be broadcast to everybody that's there for the record for the future.
Well, and then if something happens, Meg and I go to jail, you and Josh are just going to be two dads.
Innocent. Innocent. We're innocent.
Four kids.
I had a severe head injury. I didn't remember that I had a podcast.
But the other thing, too, is if these people did find it, okay, so they get 10%, but then they're also now... forever the people who found the gold. So it's not like they're just not, they're getting that deal and hey, nothing
else
is going
to be on TV. They can write books. They can have all sorts of different.
So are they really going to only make $2 million after taxes? No.
Maybe.
No.
So, but, and then the other side of this is because even though, as we'll find out, the FBI, the federal government gets involved, right? Mm-hmm. But you still have the fact that it's on state land and game land. So there isn't to say that, yes, you have $41 million, but now you're going to have a legal tete-a-tete with federal government, state government, and the game commission, who are all going to say, we have a claim to this gold. Right. And then after that is
worked out. You're never
going to
see a penny of that.
After that is worked out, that's when Finders Keeper gets their 10% of whatever's left.
Right.
Right. But still,
Just saying.
It's a good point, though.
It's easier to bury bodies. Just kidding.
So, we all know what the end result would have been if Meg was on this trip back then. All right. In January of 2018, that is when the Paradas reached out to the FBI with their evidence and asked for their assistance. So by March 14th of 2018, the FBI and the Pennsylvania Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, they were on the scene in Elk County along with the Finders Keepers and several news organizations. We'll jump now into, that was Finders Keepers, now we're going to jump into the FBI and their search. The FBI had sent down their own researchers to evaluate the area in question, and they had also hired a geophysical consulting firm. It's called EnviroScan to help survey the hilltop site. So EnviroScan's gravimeter also indicated a large metallic mass with the density of gold, which according to Warren Gettler, author of Rebel Gold, a book exploring legends of buried Civil War era caches of gold and silver. So Gettler worked closely with the Paradas and with the FBI, and an FBI agent told them that the mass found was 7 to 9 tons, and that much gold would be worth hundreds of millions of dollars today. And assuming that it was there, that much gold would certainly touch off a legal fight, which we already talked about, over how to divvy up the spoils. So it's worth noting that according to Google, tungsten is the only other metal with similar density to gold. So it's not even to say that it was gold. It could have been something else.
Mm-hmm.
The only things, basically, that would have set off the gravimeter that, like, if it's working properly, which they're saying everything was done according to spec, everything mm-hmm. was up to par, all of that. The only two things that would have read as the same density as gold is gold or tungsten.
Okay.
That'd be a real bummer. And tungsten, and we get into this later because it's part of the conspiracy theory, but tungsten is used in like filaments and electrodes and it's things like that. So techie stuff.
Yeah. So not quite as exciting as finding gold.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get into a little bit of a conspiracy at this point. Of the Parada family claims that they had an agreement with the FBI to be able to observe the excavations. But of course we all know that probably would never have gone to fly. So, however, on the day of the dig, the FBI officers instead confined them to their car. So they were finally escorted to the dig site at the end of the second day, where they saw a huge empty hole.
Mm-hmm.
That would be such a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
So the FBI claims that they didn't find anything, but the Paradas remained convinced that the FBI uncovered something there. So the Parada family suspects that the FBI retrieved the gold in the middle of the night and then showed the treasure hunters an empty hole in the afternoon of the second day. They are so convinced that the FBI is hiding something that they have officially sued the FBI for access to their records regarding the dig.
And this is why it's still a story today, because they're still
right
in a lawsuit with the FBI.
Right, that was only 2018.
Mm-hmm. And it's ongoing, the mm-hmm. lawsuit.
The FBI found the gold, let's face it.
I mean,
the things that they know that we don't know is probably...
I mean...
Would blow our minds.
Weren't they the ones that... Or maybe it was the government. I don't remember, but... I forget, back in like the 60s or 70s, the military was testing the... I think the plane's called the SR-71 Blackbird. It's a plane that goes way, 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 way high, does surveillance... But like super undetectable, and people, I think it blew up or something. Something happened with it, and like one of the engines fell and landed in Pennsylvania somewhere. And everybody's like, "Oh, it was a UFO," and they made this whole big stink out of it. And like, there's people who saw the government come in, put this thing on a trailer, and take
it
out.
Never seen of again. Never spoken of again.
No, they just said it was nothing. I forget what they said it was. I don't remember the whole story, but there's like a whole big ordeal, and they're just like, "Oh no, yeah, it was." It was nothing. And here, ultimately, people are like, the conclusion was of what people saw is it was in one of the ends of the engine off of this plane that didn't exist at the time that was being tested. But
so
it
I think,
clearly exists.
I think the biggest thing here is something was removed.
Right.
Because if it was nothing, as the FBI claims... Then you'd fill the hole back in with the dirt that you removed from the hole. But there's still a gaping hole.
That's so a good point to...
Something was in there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Something filled that space.
Right. If they were just digging and didn't find anything, they'd be like, well, this is pointless. Put the dirt back and move
and
on.
Even if it was just a big rock, they'd still just put that rock back in there and fill it in.
Right.
Right. Or they would say, hey, here's what we found. It's this big rock.
Yeah.
That's what was picking up on the meter.
Right.
And I find it interesting that the finders keepers got a hit on their meter, and then the FBI also says that they confirmed something was there.
Right.
So
and then it's not like it was nothing there.
I highly doubt that it was a fluke on both meters to say, hey, there's something here.
Well, and then they said magically it was 7 to 9 tons. Like, how do you find some, like, how does your machine pick something up that's 7 to 9 tons and then just be like, oh, no, sorry. It's just dirt.
And I this is going to sound a little conspiracy theorist on my end, and I am not by any means, but I do question a lot of things because, let's face it, we know that the government, the FBI, they've been untruthful in the past, so what's to prevent them in this scenario from being untruthful?
Well, and if they had found the gold and they were truthful about it, that also sets them into the tailspin of divvying it up.
Right.
Right. Because even though it's federal gold, technically, it's on state land and game land.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have the treasure
right.
recovery company in there, in the mix. So what's the easiest
route? Be interesting route, to right? see if the federal, or if the FBI is mysteriously, I don't know, had increase in their revenue or whatever by $41 million.
Well, I don't think that they would be dumb enough to... You never know.
Are we sure about that?
You never know.
Back to gold, not to down the rabbit hole of other things.
Well, it's a big portion of it because we have to go by what they've said.
Right.
And do we ultimately trust that?
No. Ultimately, no. I do not trust that...
So it's something that you have to take into consideration when...
And I would suspect that most people wouldn't. If you're, that would be like... It's like when Riley knows something we've... She knows she has something. We've taken it from her, hid that from her, but she still knows it's there. Like...
Okay.
Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a scenario where she knows... That's what I'm getting at. It's like you're taking something from a child. Like, the child found something... They know it's there, like a candy. They know that candy's there, but you take it from them, and you say, oh, look, see, it was never here, but they saw it in the cabinet, like, but we moved it because we didn't want them to...
Okay, so I think I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm losing my... I know what I'm trying to say, but I can't get it out.
So, for example, I found a dinosaur Lego set... At Aldi's in the Isle of Shame.
Yes, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For and it works with other Legos. Like you don't okay. have to have like it works with actual Lego. But anyway, I digress. But I found that for Matthias. I brought it home. I set it next to the basement door so that when I went down to the basement the next time. To flip laundry, I would take it with me and put it down in the basement where he won't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Totally forgot. Oops. And then I went, I think that night I had a Bible study and I left and Josh came home with the kids and he's like, so.
Whoops.
And so now he's still getting it as a present and I ran it down to the basement. But he has mentioned it a few times and I'm like, what? What Lego set?
Right.
What Dino Lego set? I don't know what you're talking about. Mom, there is a Dino Lego set.
He's like, right I know here. I saw it right there.
Right. That's kind of what I was getting at. It's like, this happens in everybody's life every day, especially people who have children. I mean, we've done it with Riley. It's like, oh, that's not what you saw. I know we've done it before, and I'm trying to think of the scenario, the couple but that we've done.
That was a good one that Megan.
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Like,
so it's like the FBI is the parent in this situation.
Right.
Saying, there was never anything there.
Right. Right.
But you have...
And we're just supposed to believe it.
Correct.
The treasure hunter's sophisticated equipment going off and EnviroScan's extremely sophisticated equipment saying there's a huge chunk of something down there with the density.
They're basically playing the parent of, hey, I'm... Mommy and daddy, and you should believe what I'm telling you. Like, I wouldn't ever lie to my child.
Right. Yeah. I just can't, I can't get around the fact that they were like, oh, we know that their scans had shown that there was something there. And then they're just like, yeah, no, it's just an empty hole. How are they supposed to convince people to believe that when their own equipment is what was saying there is something there.
And... If this was conducted in the 60s or 70s or 80s, I think maybe people would be more likely to accept it. But let's face it, technology has grown. Mm-hmm. Facts have, like,
right.
Information gets released. People find things now because we have access to all this technological stuff. And right. Now people question because, hey, things with the FBI have been proven to be not truthful.
Mm-hmm.
Now people think...
Right, they're not just going to believe what they say.
Which, rightfully so. I don't believe what they said.
I mean, think about it. Our phones that we use today are more powerful than the computers we grew up on.
Right. Correct.
Right.
Correct. So, to say that the instrumentation is faulty, it's not going to fly.
Right.
You can't do that.
Right.
When I was researching this, Josh was like, you're going to end up disappearing someday. No.
We're just bringing the story and our opinions.
I said, like, all of this free country, is already you're allowed out to do there.
That. Right.
Like, if they're going to disappear
there are
me,
books on it. Like, there's plenty of other people above us that would need to go first.
Everyone at the Mount Zion Historical Society.
Right.
Like,
right.
Yeah,
but now, hopefully, our listeners are seeing why we're going to break this up into three parts, because...
There's a lot here.
We've got a lot of information. We've only touched... you know, a little bit of the surface here. Like, we've gone into, like, some background information and, you know, what's been going on lately. But, you know, this is a big story, and I'm into it.
I feel like we should give some time in between our podcast posts so people...
That's just cruel.
No. If they want to interject their thoughts till this gets out...
Well, people can interject their thoughts
and record
whenever.
The next one, so maybe we can, on the next episode, address, oh, we've gotten... Some people think this happened. Some people think this happened. Or maybe by part three we can post that. But well, I think we should give some time. And if people are listening and want to interject what they think or have
because
heard.
Because we're automatically jumping into with our thoughts.
Right.
So if anybody has.
Be interested to hear if other people have thoughts as well.
Right. Let us know.
Because.
Then we can talk about them.
The government
if people
stole
have different
money.
Thoughts. Or we can just take a poll and be like, okay, if you're leaning this way. Mm-hmm. Or this way, and see where everybody falls.
And it's going to be interesting, because after the second part, people may lean completely differently than they did when they started.
I've only looked at part one, so this is... I feel like that was good, because this is how I'm feeling after part one.
Right, we do have all three parts that we can look at, but we've only looked at part one.
Correct.
And...
I keep them in suspense.
Yes,
the FBI.
That's the way we like it.
So my thoughts so far.
Okay. Ethan's take home.
Yes, my take home of current story building up. I am convinced that most likely the people originally transporting said gold either one...
Turned on each other?
Turned on each other, yes, thank you. Turned on each other... And ultimately, maybe a few survived, or maybe there were one or two that were in on it of, hey, we're going to shoot these other people and we're taking the money and leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Or B, maybe all of them mutually agreed of, hey, we're lost, we're not getting out of here, and we're in Pennsylvania, a somewhat, I don't really call them neutral, but a divided state at the time. Of, hey, yep, we're going to just split, go our own ways, and we're never going to talk about this again, and we're all now John Smith and...
That's a good point.
They left and went their own way, or they all went together and just said, hey, you know, we never were in the military. Hey, we found all this gold.
You just take a new identity and...
Right. Not hard to do back then, I don't think.
I don't think so either. That's a good theory, though.
My theory is that because they didn't sound like they were the most upstanding citizens, and
but you would this, think though, it, if that
this
if
is
that
a common thing. Like, as history has gone on, we found more out about the Civil War, and there was a lot of people doing, I don't want to say shady things, but things
you could
that,
easily get away with more shady things.
Right. People were stealing and transporting money, and there were spies on the Union side, there were spies on the Confederate side, so, like...
And also...
What ultimately says that one of those guys wasn't a spy, and, hey, shot those people, and that money ended up back in the Confederate Army, and we just don't know that yet.
And also, like, you know, I think when we think about the Civil War, overarchingly, we think about it, the main issue being slavery.
Right.
Right? But when it started, that actually wasn't the main issue. the main issue was states' rights. And what the South felt was states' rights was different from what the North felt was states' rights. And then slavery kind of also got modeled in there because it was more and more of a moral issue for people. Mm-hmm. But Abraham Lincoln, at first, was not going to shut down slavery. He wasn't necessarily for it. He wasn't allowing any new states to have slavery, but he wasn't going to take it mm-hmm. from the southern states. Mm-hmm. That became a thing when they needed more soldiers. Mm-hmm. So they had the Emancipation Proclamation. And they said, hey, Abraham if you Lincoln. Come fight for the North, you're free.
Abraham Lincoln once said,
but
sorry, he did. Holly and I are chuckling over here over an office quote.
Like, he was a great president. He did honestly have a real moral issue with slavery. He just also knew that as president, he couldn't force states to stop this that were already doing it because he was actually trying to avoid a civil war.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so you have a lot of issues with states' rights in there. What?
I'm laughing. Nothing. It was just, you were building up, there's a quote in The Office from, and it's making me laugh because Michael says in The Office, Abraham Lincoln once said, if you're a racist, I'll attack you with the North. Yeah. And just what you're describing, that's all I keep thinking, and I keep chuckling about it because it's just.
But there's a lot of other issues in there other than just slavery that divided mm-hmm. up the states. So you also have to think about how all of those other issues would have affected people mm-hmm. and what they may or may not do.
Right.
Right.
And honestly, once the Civil War was over, a lot of people didn't expect anything to really survive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they were kind of just out for a lot of people were just like out for themselves.
Right.
Like, let me shore up my household, my world, which makes sense. I mean, if there's a lot of uncertainty, yeah, right. you want to make sure your things are protected.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, heck, we're in insurance. We help right. people protect what they love, you know? Right. But that, so there probably was a lot of, well,
right.
who the heck knows? Nobody's going to miss us.
Right. Exactly.
We can just disappear.
Right.
Correct. And at,
so the timing of it was
at that
ideal for a situation like that.
Correct. And I think at that point in the war, there would have been a lot of uncertainty of who really was winning at that time.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't really, I'm trying to think, until Gettysburg really was resolved.
Gettysburg was the pivotal.
Right.
One.
Right. Until that was really resolved, it was appeared probably to most that it was, could go one way or the other, I guess.
And there were other battles after that, but that's right. when, like, it really, like, it was a pivotal battle in the war, and
right.
both sides really got hit hard, but it was a,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah.
And the Confederacy retreated Northern, back south after that, I believe.
Is it technically the northernmost battle? I believe so.
I think it was the northernmost battle.
I have.
We're getting too deep into.
No, Holly's chuckling over an office.
Sorry, everything.
All the actual historians out there are being like, "Oh my goodness, guys."
Yeah, sorry. I did. I will apologize to all the Civil War historians.
I know it was a Union victory, but both sides were really, really hard hit.
Correct.
But they said that the ground seeped with blood for weeks, and the whole town of Gettysburg just smelled like rotting flesh.
Mm-hmm.
There's some graphic images.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's why it's considered one of the most haunted places in the world, not just the United States.
Mm-hmm. That's what we should hit for Halloween.
I know, right?
Yeah. Nope, I've seen photos. I don't need
it's
to go
kinda,
there.
It's kind of overdone,
though.
Oh,
come
though.
On.
Don't you think? It's a little overdone.
But we should go.
We should
go.
I've always wanted to do, like, the ghost but.
Okay, we're getting off topic.
Railroading here. Out of control.
So, if anybody has their own theories and thoughts as to where we are at this point. So, just part one. Let us know if you agree with what we've talked about, if you don't, whatever. We want to know your thoughts and your opinions, and then we'll move forward with part two, which we're going to get into. I will let you wait.
TBD.
Yeah. TBD. All right, guys. So hit us up. Let us know your thoughts. You can either, I know we have it out on, what's the best way for them to?
So they could.
They can email us at info@shawleyagency.com, or you can just message us on Facebook.
Yep.
We have our at the Shawley Insurance Agency on Facebook, and we will see that. I manage all that, so I will see it. Or you could email us individually, Megan at mtroop@shawleyagency.com, Ethan at etroop@shawleyagency.com, and Holly at htroop@shawleyagency.com.
So as long as you get troop in there, if you get any initial in front of it, somebody will get it.
Yep. As long as you, well, yeah.
And you get troop, T-R-O-U-P, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd love to hear your opinions. You know, I think that's going to make this an even more interesting story, is if, you know, we get everybody else's thoughts other than just ours.
Yeah, we'll share your thoughts.
Yeah.
We're interested.
And we don't have to share names or anything like that. Just, you know, we want to know what other people are thinking based off of where we are so far in this story. Because it seems like people could go a bunch of different ways.
Either way, yeah, I could see some people thinking, at this point, it was or was not found.
Right. It could not even be buried anywhere. Like,
right.
People could still have it
right.
Out places. Like,
or the
whole
thing could be made up.
And that could be, too. We could be talking about absolutely nothing. Wouldn't that be a bummer?
I think that's a bummer.
What a waste of... how many...
What a waste of your time,
podcast
people.
Episodes.
Cool story.
It is. Really, I'm into it. I'm
hey,
into
thank you
it.
For listening to Three Parts. Fun fact, this isn't a real story.
We're going with it is. There's enough, like, evidence of background. Like, there's enough there that I think...
If the FBI investigated and...
Right.
There's
when do you hear
enough...
of the FBI coming in to dig for gold?
Right. There's enough...
You know, like, there's...
significance
stuff.
To the story that they needed to show
up. And
why
would the FBI?
Right.
Because what does the FBI do? That we get into that later. What's the purpose of the FBI?
I don't even remember what the FBI
is. The purpose of the FBI is to protect American citizens
right.
from domestic and international
right.
terrorism.
Is that really what they do now?
Mm-hmm. According to their website.
I was going to say, because I don't really know what they do anymore. It feels
so,
like they do a little...
That's what
it feels
they're
like,
supposed to do.
It feels that, like they're involved in everything.
That's getting into another part, but that's one of the questions. Like, there had to...
Be a reason that they...
Be a reason that the FBI
right.
would take time...
To do something like this.
2 days, essentially.
Right. To dig for gold.
In the mountains of central Pennsylvania.
Right.
In the middle of nowhere.
Right. Right. They had to have thought that it would be worth their time to
mm-hmm.
go and send people to go and look into it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, $41 million is worth time.
So clearly they thought that it existed, or they wouldn't have put their time and
or
effort into it.
Of something.
Right.
That could
right.
exist.
It could, yeah, and maybe it wasn't, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something out there that's not money that we don't know about that is...
There's so much out there that we don't know
significantly
about.
More important than apparently 26 gold bars, but
big old pile of tungsten.
Never know.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for sticking with us for this episode. And again, this is part one. We will keep you posted and give us your thoughts and opinions. And we will touch base again for part two, where we will continue on with this story and hopefully have some of your input on it. All right, thanks, guys.
Have a great day.
If you liked what you heard in this episode, be sure to follow Pennsylvania Life, Legends, and Lore on your preferred podcast platform to stay up to date on new content. Pennsylvania Life, Legends, and Lore is produced by Harv Productions, LLC.